97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Trying to get Dwayne Patterson on the line here, but you know, Sue, as I was wrapping up the hour, I looked up at the television screen, and we have several screens in here. We have Fox National, but we have Fox 2 on one of the screens, and you know, this is one of the stories that's kind of making the rounds today. There is video that's come out of something that happened at a McDonald's in July where there was one of these teen takeovers. But of course, what the local media and what the Post is doing is they're leading with what the cop did. And the headline says, video shows cop fires shots into car full of teens on chaotic July night in St. Louis County. I suppose that's somewhat accurate, but I would lead with the fact that there were teens that were going crazy and taking over an entire area on the night of July 5th. And when you see this video, so the Post is going to focus on the cops, right? Probably the rest of the media. When you see the video, I think you'll say, wait a second, what about all the crazy teenagers and what they're doing right now? Because it got out of control. This was like almost like a nighttime version of what happened at the the Shrewsbury Sky Zone a couple of months ago. That was horrific because it was literally in the middle of the day. It was like 3-4 in the afternoon. In this particular case, it was late at night, I think maybe even into the overnight hours, but it fits a pattern here with these teenagers, you know, with no parents, of course, out late at night and doing no good and being in a situation where, yeah, they can get shot by cops if they do something that warrants that. Now, I'll get into this a little bit later because apparently the audio shows that one of the cops was firing and one of the other officers said, whoa, no, no, holster, holster. So I don't have audio, but yeah. So of course this is going to be about the cop and what the cop did outside of, you know, what happened. He fired 11 times. And the story, I can do this now, I think, because we still don't have Dwayne on. The shots hit a boy and a girl in the car. The girl hit by broken glass was treated, released. The department said the teens who were shot were 15 and 16. So, you know, I guess here's more. The Ethical Society of Police, this is the group that represents black officers. I don't know why the Ethical Society of Police always takes up for criminals, but they do. They express concerns that the officer fired multiple rounds into a car occupied by teenagers. The circumstances surrounding the use of deadly force must be fully examined, including the nature of the perceived threat, whether the vehicle was moving toward the officer away from the scene, whether the officer's actions were consistent with department policy and accepted law enforcement standards. So again, this is going to be all about the cops and what the cops did. This happened 45 days ago. St. Louis County prosecutors, I guess, are going to look at the video for review. But, you know, one of the things that they point out in the Post story is that nobody has been arrested with this. And if you see the video, this is crazy. You know, we talked about this with my friend Dan O'Donnell yesterday, who's up in Milwaukee. They had one of these things that happened at the Wisconsin State Fair, right, which is in Milwaukee, on Sunday night. And it was just nuts because they're down the midway of this state fair, which is an awesome state fair. And kids are just going nuts and they're knocking people over and they're swinging at some of the white kids. So I don't know. I'll be very curious. We haven't had, you know, there's one thing that the Post-Dispatch loves to do, anything else, is focus on their cop hatred and at every turn try to make the police look like the bad guys when things are falling apart amongst us. But this is what they do at the Post-Dispatch, so it's not anything new. Do we have Dwayne? Do we have him on the magical new button here? Okay, look at that. Dwayne Patterson.
Magical.
Testing. Are you there?
I am here. Hello, my friends. Hello, Sue. Hello, Mark. How are you?
You sound like you're right next to me, which is what we wanted to be. You're out in California, but we're using some of this.
Welcome to Dwayne's world.
Yeah, that's right. Some of this technology. How are you?
I am doing grand. I've been beating socialists off with a stick all day and finally got the gremlins out of the electronics.
Oh, good. Why? What's been going on? Just hiccups and stuff like that?
Just hiccups.
Okay. It happens. Where do you want to start? You want to start with Florida and what happened there yesterday? Because there is a Democrat socialist that was victorious, right? God bless him.
Yes, because you need the undercard to El Sayed. And if you're going to nationalize this election, the back-to-back of El Sayed and Ms. Nixon down in Florida is just too glorious to behold. So just quickly, what's the over-under on how badly, what's the spread going to be in Florida between Ashley Moody over Ms. Nixon? What do you think it's going to be, Mark?
Before I handicap that, let's play some greatest hits here. Okay, ready?
Okay,
I want to abolish for-profit prisons because I believe right now people aren't educating our children and they're ushering them into the school-to-prison pipeline because they want to exploit labor.
Now is the time for us to stand up and lock arms and be willful accomplices in this fight against fascism.
To be 1D, the clerk will unlock the machine and the members will proceed to vote. Have all members voted?
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, we have to end fascism, even though she's a communist. So that's going to be a fun one to watch. I don't think that's a seat that's in jeopardy.
That's going to be a 20-point spread, maybe a 25-point spread in Florida. Joe Scarborough on M. Snow, as I like to call it this morning. Joe Scarborough on the Morning Joe program asked her if she still wanted to defund the police, and she hemmed and hawed, didn't really want to answer it. She said, well, what I am for is I'm for law and order, and law and order begins with the release of the Epstein files. That's what she said this morning. So it's like, oh boy.
They're still on that thing, right?
She's still on that thing. I'm still flabbergasted at El Sayed. I mean, again, we're going to be ping-ponging between these two for the next, better part of 3 months. El Sayed gives a press conference today, and a reporter asked him today, I don't know if you've had this grab yet.
I don't think I have, no.
Okay, this happened while you were on, on Hugh's show. And he's asked by a reporter, so how are you going to win back the black vote, especially in mm-hmm. Detroit, that you got hammered on in the primary? And he says, well, he puts his hand on his chest to show sincerity.
Right.
And he says, well, I am African. And he says, I am embracing my African heritage. And that's how he's going to win back blacks.
That's his answer.
That was his answer. He's Egyptian. Do you know what the Egyptians did to black people for about the last 400 years, traded them as slaves, put them in bondage in Egypt. They didn't actually completely get out from under slavery. They were one of the last countries to do so. I think it was finally in the 1920s before they finally said, okay, I guess we're done with this since everybody doesn't like it and all.
You know,
you can't make it up.
No, but it is interesting because, one thing that's been consistent when you look at Francesca Hong or if you look at El Sayed, and I'm guessing if you look at what happened with Angie Nixon in Florida, African-American voters did not support them. They do not like socialist candidates. I find that interesting.
Oh, I find it absolutely fascinating as well. When you've got a Republican candidate in a street fair doing a parade of classic cars, and he's riding in a 50s era, 60s era restored cherry red Ford pickup truck with the white walls on it,
mm-hmm.
and the comms guy, the undercard for El Sayed, one of his campaign coordinators, takes to X and says, well, just the fact that he had two American flags on that Ford pickup truck shows that's the same thing as the KKK doing a march and a rally.
It's ridiculous. They've tried to make these comparisons before. And look, I think most common sense people who love this country, which I still think is the majority of the people in this country, think that that's just such nonsense. It's just weak.
It's not going to work. It'll work in New York City, where it was an enclave of hard left progressives. It will work in San Francisco. It will work in Berkeley. It will work in pockets of the country because you have a bunch of progressives on college campuses or in inner cities that think they don't have enough goodies and they want everything for free. Remember 15 years ago when the Democrats and Barack Obama said that if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor? That's now gone. There is no you're going to keep your doctor if you like your doctor because your health insurance is going to be absolutely destroyed. It has to go. It can't remain if you're going to have a public option.
People don't like to stop telling the truth on that because people don't like to really think through that, right? They really don't. And I remember, by the way, I was told that by Senator McCaskill back in the day. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. And they lied about so many things related to Obamacare.
Yeah.
But they are. The problem for Republicans is I don't think Republicans have good answers for this, because the bottom line is, and you know, this is when it comes to young people in particular, they're very worried about health care and the cost of health care. And it's real, all right? And if you don't have a job in particular, but then again, there's this sense that you don't have to pay for health care insurance, right? But then all of a sudden when you get sick, well, then you get in. That's not how it works. And, you know, I've even talked about this. One of my pet peeves, Dwayne, is the claim by the Democrats, and they say it all the time, that Republicans are trying to take away coverage for pre-existing conditions. Republicans never answer the way they should, which is in 1997, I think Bill Clinton signed federal legislation that said that if you don't gap your insurance, so let's say you change jobs and there's a little bit of a gap between the next job. If you go on COBRA, if you don't skip your insurance, you cannot be denied coverage for pre-existing conditions. But the Democrats time and time again lie about that. Now, again, think through that. If you're someone who had a job, you had insurance, and you're like, I'm not going to pay for insurance. Uh-oh, now I'm sick. I got to pay for insurance. Well, of course you're not supposed to do that, because that's not how the pools work. You can't just have people going in willy-nilly to say, I need insurance now because I'm sick. But that sometimes, I think, falls on deaf ears with the Democrats as well.
Of course it does. And the system, if you're going to do a universal single-payer system, which is what they want, it doesn't work, and no matter what you throw at it. But it can't. It doesn't even have a percentage chance of working unless everybody is dumped in it, whether they want to or not. And I'm just... Nobody, you think Elon Musk is going to get dumped into a public option? Do you think half the people in Congress, in the Senate, are going to get dumped into a public option after what they're going through? You think every military member on TRICARE is going to get dumped into that? No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Let's talk about a couple other things here. The John Ossoff comment on Natalie Harp. I talked with Scott Jennings about this earlier. Here's part of that.
See, he doesn't want to do the job. He wants to build his ballroom and travel with Natalie on their apparently defenseless flying palace gifted by the Emir of Qatar.
Why'd you decide to invoke Natalie Harp specifically in that speech?
Here's the point. We're in wartime. The commander-in-chief has mired us in this geopolitical disaster. People have lost their lives. Our naval logistics are frayed. The global energy system is in crisis. And he retreats into this bubble of West Wing aides who are his security blanket to make him feel good about himself.
Okay, well, when I covered this with Jennings, I mean, the allegation on the part of John Ossoff about Natalie Harp is just outrageous, and there's nothing to it. And I can't believe that he hasn't been called out more by the legacy media. But that's stepping way over the line there.
Segment of today's show on Hugh's side on the network, which, by the way, was streamed on C-SPAN. They're picking us up this week because Congress is on vacation and
nice.
They just are desperate for stuff to play. So, sure.
Well, good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. So, second segment, we brought on Michael Collins, who is going to be running against John Ossoff in November. And he wasted no time, and he was pummeling John Ossoff. And he said, look, comments like that, that kind of misogyny, that kind of abuse, there's no truck for that with Georgians. And they're not gonna take too kindly to that. And he started going down the list of all the things that John Ossoff promised Georgians but did not deliver on. And that's going to be a horse race there. Don't fool yourself that's a dead set lock for the Democrats to hold. I'm not convinced of that at all.
Well,
Michael Collins is coming.
Yeah, that whole thing, you know, even that was Jen Psaki who asked the question on, what do you call it now, MS Snow or
M Snow?
M Snow, I like that. I got to practice
Snow.
That.
Yes,
she even sounded caught off guard, maybe a little disappointed. I mean, why would he do that? He's making allegations that are deep into the weeds here that might be sexual. When you know as well as I do, if someone on the right said that about someone and made a reference like that, that would all be about misogyny and hating women and all that.
But that would be the end of all things.
Right.
Yes.
But they're not treating that this way. I mean, even Jennings said, I didn't see the panel last night, that they're, you know, some of the people on the panel with Abby were defending this. I don't know how you can defend the comment whatsoever. So that's fascinating. What else should we talk about here? How about the mayor of Massachusetts that doesn't speak English?
Hi, guys.
How are you,
no
Mr. Mayor?
Excuse me.
I'm
fine.
Brian DePaine is his name.
Sure. Do you think they...
Do you want to say anything?
He doesn't speak English.
Nothing.
You heard the lawyer say he doesn't speak English. What? He's the mayor of a U.S. town.
And he'd qualify to be a truck driver in California.
Well, that's actually a very good point. He's got criminal charges now because there's fraud and money laundering charges. And I don't know if he speaks English or not, but the lawyer tries to shoo people away from that. But that's rather, let's take the fraud and the stolen money out of the picture here. A mayor of a United States city doesn't speak English. What in the world is going on?
Well, that clearly is problematic. I mean, I remember reading stories, 10 years ago when I kind of do some silly stuff. I remember there were towns that, that elected a ceremonial mayor that was actually a four-legged person or, you know, a dog as mayor or a 9-year-old as mayor. You see those kind of stories, just lighthearted, you know, off the front page type stuff. But, a guy that's actually running and actually has a budget and is in charge of how a city is run that doesn't speak the Queen's English or even, you know, Bronx English for that matter, that does become problematic. The cut I'm surprised you haven't glommed onto. Did you see the steering committee of the DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America? This was a Zoom meeting of about four or five of these little dweebs that are running and steering the national platform committee of the DSA. And this guy says, there's two things that we are famous for. Number one are all the programs and agenda that we want to do to this country. And the second is our hatred. He actually used the words, our hatred of the United States Constitution. Everything
well,
we want to do.
Yeah, I haven't
everything,
got that audio.
Everything we want to do, he says, is to enable a democracy and get to a democracy in this country that is the only democracy that is stable and can work, and that's a socialist democracy, whatever that definition means. And the biggest objective has always been and will be until we dismantle it. The biggest objective to our goal is the Constitution. We have to end the Constitution.
Yeah, what I hope is, and believe it or not, I've heard a little of this maybe on CNN, but look, there is healthy skepticism among sane Democrats about this stuff, but they just don't know how to handle it. They really don't. And I think that's the pickle that they're in. Again, even Joe Scarborough, you've seen some of the more traditional, you know, establishment Democrats go after these DSA candidates saying, we're not down with that, like James Carville. But those guys are not really relevant into where the Democrats are picking their leaders right now. So that opinion might not even matter.
Not at all. And Republicans, we know how to stick them with that and hang that around their neck like an albatross. We're really good at that and doing the oppo. What we need to do better, and I think our mutual friend Jim Talent and I are going to work on a National Review piece, we need to sell the message that things actually are improving here. I mean, you talk about the medical affordability crisis in health insurance. Has anybody talked this week that prescription drugs dropped in price significantly for the first time in like 60 years?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It hasn't happened before. And it's only happened because of one person, right?
I think so. I mean, I'm not too crazy about gas prices and everything, but I do think you have to give attention
Patience
to issues like that. Well, no,
Patience
I mean, look, I know. And then, look, the thing that bothers me is that no one wants to give credit to, you know, about the big, beautiful bill and the tax cuts, because everyone's taxes would have gone up if that didn't pass. All right, one more topic here. Darlene Graham, she is trying to replace her late brother, Lindsey Graham. There's a debate in North Carolina. She's asked by Greta Van Susteren, Senator, Are Taiwan and the South China Sea national security issues for the United States? If so, why and how? And her answer was, look, I'm just going to be honest here. I'm not that informed on national security, but I do support the military. That didn't play well in the room. However, I don't know that that was, it wasn't a dishonest answer. Is that problematic for her in North Carolina, since other people are going to make that maybe an issue of her not being ready for that particular seat?
I don't think so. I don't think that just because Lindsey Graham was a foreign policy expert and that's what floated his boat means that's what has to float her boat. She's going to have different issues. But my guess is, and I've heard her say this before, that on issues that she's not aware of, while she's getting herself up to speed on them, she is largely going to vote the way that Lindsey Graham would have voted
on sense.
Those issues.
Yeah.
And I'm just fine with that. She doesn't have to be the chair of the Armed Services Committee just because Lindsey Graham was on it, or, you know, on Judiciary or whatever committee it was. He was a lawyer. I'm not sure she was or is. She's going to have her own strength. She's her own person. But she was close enough to Lindsey Graham. She kind of knows the pith of his gist. She knows what he liked and what he didn't like. And my guess is she wants to keep his legacy alive. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
The bottom line is that you could probably ask a lot of current members of the legislature what their opinion of that particular geopolitical situation would be, and they wouldn't really have a good answer. So I don't think, you know, trying to answer and fake people out when you don't know the answer, that's a bad move. Just being honest with people about this, I think, is much better for her. So we'll see where that takes us. By the way, we did this like video experiment today with Dwayne, and if you're watching on the YouTube or the Twitter, I can't see you, but apparently people can see you and I. How about that?
Well, you see, and I'm seeing myself the whole time. I'm not seeing you guys, but I'm assuming that somebody in the outside world is seeing the two of us together like we can actually see each other.
Wait, I got to see you because, like, I got to pull this up on the Twitter. Is it like that on the Twitter too, Ethan? This is like a new...
Well, yeah.
I was told about this, Sue, when I came in today, right? I'm like, we're going to do this video thing with guests.
You why look why to just, that screen to the right.
I know, but when I look to the right, there it is. Then my face goes, look, you look very handsome there. You've been kind of dressed up for us a little bit.
Hey, I put on the sport coat.
Yes,
I've got Dwayne's World behind me. That's actually the bookshelf in my living room that I built
own two hands. I got collar issues with my golf shirt because I was at Belle Reve for the BMW Championship today. Dwayne, have a great week. We'll talk next week.
You got it.
All right,
thanks, guys.
Care.
Get more at 971talk.com.